Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Careful Clean, serving the Bay Area with exterior cleaning services, pressure washing, solar panel cleaning, and wood restoration services for residential and commercial clients. Careful-clean.com.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Governor Jerry Brown's plan to reformulate education funding is centered around the goal of sending more money to school districts where more than half of the students are poor or struggling to learn English. Senate Democrats have endorsed the plan in principle, but today they roll out an alternative plan that features less sweeping changes, a plan that responds to critics in suburban districts who worry about the hit they'd have to take to make Brown's plan fly. The governor is not amused.
They're going to get the battle of their lives, because I'm not going to give up until the last hour, and I'm going to fight it with everything I have, and whatever we have to bring to bear in this battle, we're bringing it.
It could be said Brown was busy marshaling his troops yesterday. He made those comments after a closed-door meeting with 20 superintendents who support his plan. Among them, the head of California's largest school district, LA Unified. John Daisy is in the midst of his own battle with the local teachers union over control of the LAUSD's board. That battle has attracted national attention and millions of dollars from outside interests. With the runoff election for one seat just a few weeks away, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has given a group called the Coalition for School Reform $350,000 on top of the $1 million he gave a few months ago. Daisy is pushing what's called database teacher performance evaluation. Evaluations, as well as supporting the growth of charter schools. Behind him is L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, who helped create the coalition Bloomberg is giving money to. Bloomberg is not the only big giver. Others include philanthropist Eli Broad and the education group in Sacramento run by former D.C. schools chief Michelle Rhee. California has some of the toughest ethics rules in the nation. Politicians can only accept $250 in gifts from a specific person or company each year, and officials need to document everything they receive. The intent is transparency. But what good is financial data buried deep in the internet's version of a file cabinet? The Fair Political Practices Commission is trying to make the information more accessible, as Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow reports.
If you want to know where California officials are getting their money, stock holdings, outside business interests, gifts, things like that, you'll find it in what's called the Form 700. Politicians have to file these documents every year.
It's not to say that that individual has a conflict because they have either stock holdings or have received gifts, but it's to give information to the public so they can make a decision about whether an elected official or another official is making a decision that is a conflict.
That's FPPC Chair Ann Ravel. These documents don't have information on campaign contributions. Those go to the Secretary of State's office. But the forms do contain a lot of important information. But here's the problem. The forms are pretty hard to figure out. For example, if you're looking to see who gave gifts to Governor Brown, you need to go to the FPPC site, find the form, print it out, and then you have to leaf through the document looking for information, like the fact that last year a Scottish minister gave Brown a bottle of whiskey and a gift for California's first dog, Sutter. Value? $156. If you're trying to see if one company gave gifts to several politicians or if several officials hold stock in the same company, you need to go through form after form.
And most voters don't have the time to be able to do that. If data is available, but it's not easy to access, then it's not of benefit to people, and it's hard for them to get the information they need to make thoughtful decisions.
So last year, Ravel and the FPPC tried to figure out how to make this information more accessible. They decided to come up with a test case and paid a company called Captricity about $2,000 to convert and digitize a year's worth of financial information on California's judges. The company transformed all the PDF files into a big spreadsheet listing every judge's information. So why does that matter?
So the difference is if it's on a PDF, if it's on paper, it's much harder for people to see it or get access to it. If I can digitize it, if I can get it into a spreadsheet, Then I can make it available online, and suddenly lots of people can come and view it. I can also make it sortable. I can start to look at relationships.
Catherine Posey did just that when the FPPC teamed up with Code for America and put together what's called a hackathon. They invited tech-savvy people to spend a weekend working with this information to see what kind of apps they could come up with. Sitting in a meeting room at Code for America's San Francisco headquarters, Posey and two members of her hackathon team showed me the app they were able to create.
When they say a picture tells a thousand words, especially when you're dealing with data, large sets of data, people kind of go blind.
So focusing on the GIFs information, the team of hackers made a big interactive picture, visualizing what California judges were receiving from which donors.
So since this is radio and people can't see it, what you have to think about is people can be represented as dots in a graph.
I'm sitting in front of a laptop with team member Renee DiResta, who's showing me a webpage filled with red dots and blue dots.
So red dots are judges and blue dots are donors.
And they're arranged in circles. So some of them look like flowers. You've got one red dot with maybe 20 or more blue dots around again.
Yes. So in the case where there's a red dot in the middle with a lot of blue dots pointing to it, that's a situation in which one judge received a lot of gifts from many different donors.
Some judges and donors create a spider web of connections to each other. A user can hold a mouse over a dot and see the name of the judge or the donor. DiResta says the goal is to make this information accessible and understandable.
Your brain responds to this. It can immediately grasp what's going on in a way that it simply can't if it's looking at the data presented in list form.
FPPC Chair Ann Ravel was blown away by the team's results.
It was amazing to see what people did on their own time.
Ravel says the hackathon was the first step of an ambitious goal. She wants to take all of the Form 700 data and digitize it so that people can search, map, and visualize financial information for legislators, for the governor, and for other statewide officials. Of course, that costs money.
We're looking at a number of avenues. One of them is through the budget process, and one of them is also through foundations.
Ravel is hoping to get the data converted and visualized by the end of next year, so that voters don't have to dig up form after form after form to find the information they're looking for. The next step after that, Ravel says, is to start doing the same thing with campaign contribution data. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
To see the app tracking judicial gifts, look for the link at our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Thursday, April 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.